Hey, legends, you know, none of our interviews or episodes ever date, ever. They are all timeless and ready for you for when you're ready to listen. Download the lot and rip in. The Legend Series is proudly sponsored by Pertec, who are running their Aussie Reel Deal right now. If you purchase a P-Series air and water reel in shop, you'll receive a free bottle of Protect. Free. No cost, no gimmick, just free. Pertec's Aussie Reel Deal, live now and in all their stores nationwide. For more information, check out pertec.com.au. At Pertec, we'll keep you operating. The great ones, they're different. They really are. Not better, just different. Sure, there's a physical power, a mental strength, a complex but resolute constitution too. There's a whole lot more than just the measurables. That's something else, that intangible. It separates us from them. Welcome to the Legend Series on Andy Raymond Unfiltered. This guy doesn't search for the spotlight, doesn't want it. He was told he wouldn't make it, gave up pretty much, resigned himself to park footy with his mates. But one phone call would change his life forever. So who is Trent Waterhouse?
I think I'm just a knockabout sort of bloke, pretty laid back. Easy going. Bit of a Westie still, I suppose. I live down the coast now, but always be a Westie at heart. Family man. I've got three kids and a beautiful wife, and they're a big part of who I am. Bit of a golf addict.
You got the bug?
Yeah, not that good at it. It's an emotional roller coaster of a game, but I love it. I'm addicted to it. And just, mate, just like to have a beer and a laugh with my mates and, just take it easy.
Cambridge Park and Emu Plains Junior. At the time, every player that came from Cambridge Park would be, as the headline would read, following in Brad Fittler's footsteps. Did you get plenty of that growing up?
Yeah. Oh, he's like a god out there.
Yeah.
It was a great little club and they hold on to their – the ex-players pretty tightly, especially ones like Freddie. I've heard a few stories about him playing out there and just how much he killed it. I think the teams he played in won the comp every year. He was that good. That was a great time. That was a great few years when I played for Canberra. I loved it. It was a great little club. And, mate, we had a ball. Still got mates that I played with back then. And we had a great bunch of dads. And all the mums were good too. But we had a great crew there. And it was... yeah, some great memories from back then.
We discussed in our Dream Team interview earlier in the year about where you played on the field as a kid. It wasn't in the forwards. Run us through the timeline and story about how you went from the backs to the forwards via Manly.
Yeah, it's a bit of a story. So I played, come through the junior ranks at Penrith. Was never by no means a superstar. Was probably just one of the last ones picked. Playing on the wing, fullback, centre. But when I got to flag under 20s, I was playing in the centres. But I was playing under it. I was playing a year younger, so I had another year to go in flag. And I had a decent year. The team wasn't going that well, but I played pretty well. And just didn't have that turn of speed to be a centre.
Yeah.
And I remember Roycey was head coach of the first grade at the time. He pulled me up after a game and he said, mate, I think you can make a good back rower. He said, I want you to play back row next year.
Wow.
And we went in the off season. I bulked up a fair bit, probably put on about 10 kilos and
wow,
give or take. But we come back to train. We had Peter Kelly as our coach. So he was just old school.
Yeah.
Getting road runs and absolute floggings. So I ended up getting stress fractures in me shins from all the extra weight. The legs couldn't handle it. So I was out for a while and I tried to come back And it just, I couldn't shake him. So I ended up halfway through the year, I just said to Kel, I said, mate, can I just go back and play park footy? My brother was playing for any players A grade. I said, I can't do the train, my legs are stuffed. I might try to go back there and see how I go. And they said, yeah. So I went back and finished out the year with A grade. That was the first time I played in the forwards, played back row, and it was a tough old comp out there, the A grade comp. So I reckon it was
100%.
It was actually probably a good thing for us to go back there and finished out the year there, played pretty. I struggled at the start. The gas tank was horrible.
Yeah.
So I'd never carried that weight before. But I came good at the end of the year, played pretty well. I thought I might get a call from Penrith to go back for the Reggie squad the year after, but it all sort of, I thought Royce was keen on us. And he got sacked. So, and Langy came in, so it was all up in the air. So I thought, what am I going to do? I still want to have a crack. So I ended up going for it. Went to an open trial at Brookvale Oval. They sent out a few letters to other clubs and that, just got nothing. Went to an open trial down there. It was stinking hot. I remember it. Maybe mate then went down there. And I thought it went all right. I thought I might have been half a chance.
Yeah.
I got nothing. And then I thought that was it. I was pretty much going back to A grade the next year and, you know, play a few years there and get a job. And so I pretty much gave up on it. And your brother goes, mate, why don't you just ring Penrith and just say, Royce, he was keen and just see what happens. What do you got to lose? So I rang McLeary and I said, mate, I think Royce was keen. I sort of exaggerated a little bit. Yeah. So Royce was keen on us, mate. I think he was going to get us into the Reggie squad next year and, mate, any chance I could get a train of trial or something like that, you know? And he goes, leave it with me. I'll speak to Langy. He spoke to Langy and he rang us back and he said, yeah, you come like next week, you rock up, you train and trial, there's 4 years. We went from there. So
4 of you and only one got a spot?
The other three got a contract and I was the last one to get signed. So I still struggled. Like the first year of Reggie's, the first half of the year, I was hardly getting a run.
Wow.
It got to the stage where the coach got me and another bloke and said, look, he's sort of fighting it out. One is just going to have to go.
Wow.
And then I think Jolly Clinton might have got called up to first grade and there was a spot playing front row. So I'd never played front row before. So I ended up getting a start at front row. And I played well. And I sort of just ended up starting the rest of the year. And I had a really good year at the back end of the season and debuted for first grade, like played the last 4 games in first grade. So I was... Yeah, it was a few times where it could have been over, but yeah, just I don't know, right place at the right time, and got there in the end. So
we've mentioned Freddie, we've spoken about guys like Greg Inglis previously. The ones with natural talent, they find their path to first grade pretty easily. It can be a slog if you're not the 17-year-old absolute superstar. It could be an absolute slog. And you're just waiting for that sliding doors moment, that one opportunity.
Yeah.
For so many of you.
Yeah, definitely. So there was a few of us. So I was still working. There was a few of us worked at this beer factory joint. So we used to drive these little pallet jacks around, loading up orders of alcohol and that. So we'd be up at 4 o'clock in the morning to go there, do that for 8 hours, come back straight to train. So it was a grind. It was hard.
Wow.
And there was times there I thought, fuck, I can't keep doing this.
Yeah.
And it was, I don't know. I guess it made me more resilient. It was something that was probably good for us.
Yeah.
That I got through it and come out the other end. So, yeah, like you said, you wouldn't see that much these days, or guys just go straight into the system and then, So
it's, and they're full-time. That's their job.
Yeah. I think it helped me later on when I retired as well.
Yeah.
I knew what to expect.
Yep.
You know, so it was... Yeah, it was a tough old start, but yeah, it was. When I look back on it with fond memories. It was something that was pretty worthwhile to go through, you know. So
that's terrific. Okay, straight up, Johnny Lang. He once said of himself, "He's a funny guy, not funny, ha ha, just funny." That's his quote. Everyone's got a good Langy story. What's your go-to, the one that would make you laugh? A memory of Johnny Lane?
Oh, there's a few. He used to video sessions, he'd go through that many fucking remotes on the VHS because he'd be trying to press play and he'd be trying to rewind and he'd be hitting the button that hard. He'd go, Storzy. Storzy was our sister. Go, Storzy. Storzy would be like there, half asleep. Wake up. The one where he was on the sideline where Gowie, I think it was like 5 seconds ago or something, Gowie's kicked it dead. And we ended up having to do a drop kick.
Yeah.
And we were up by 2 or something, and he was like flipping out on the side with his fucking headphones all tangled up. He must have went through some headphones as well, but
yeah.
Remotes and headphones. But he was quirky, but I loved him.
Yep.
The players loved him. I think that's, he was old school, he didn't overcomplicate, didn't over coach. And you always sort of knew where you stood with him. You know, there was no rubbish, there was no mind games. And I think that was a perfect fit for that squad we had back then, yeah. And it worked. So I love the bloke. He gave me a shot. So, he was great.
Let's go to your debut day, Saturday, August 17, 2002. You're up against Melbourne. In Melbourne, and, mate, it was a spanking. Yeah. Welcome to first grade. Yeah. What an introduction.
Yeah, it was a bit of a baptism of fire.
Wasn't it?
Down Olympic Park, it was a bit of a shit hole of a ground. No atmosphere, cold, windy.
Yep.
I remember it was probably 20 minutes in. I got on with about 20 minutes in and we were down like 20. I think it was 20-0 or something. Yeah. They had Steve Kearney, Rodney Howe, Robbie Kearns, they were just teeing off.
That's right.
And I remember getting on. I think we were coming out of our own end, like 10 out, and I got the ball, my first hit up, and it was like, Robbie Kearns and fucking Kearney were just pretty much put their shoulders through my spine. It was a baptism of fire, but I loved it. I definitely got easier from then on. But it was good fun. I loved every minute of it. The oldies come down and watch, my brothers come down. So it was a special week. It really was. It was just to see how happy they were for me to make me debut. They knew it was something I always wanted to do. It was a great week. Yeah, I loved it.
The Legend Series is proudly sponsored by Pertec, who are running their Aussie Reel Deal right now. If you purchase a P-Series air and water reel in shop, you'll receive a free bottle of Protect. Free. No cost, no gimmick, just free. Pertec's Aussie Reel Deal, live now and in all their stores nationwide. For more information, check out pertec.com.au. At Pertec, we'll keep you operating.
Mate, you talking about that, I can barely remember what I had for lunch 2 days ago, but I reckon I called that game. And I can recall the debut as we sit here. I could be bloody wrong too, but never mind.
Yeah, so Stevie Turner debuted that day as
That's
well.
That's right. Yeah,
he was only 17. He was a pup. So
and a little pup.
Yeah,
yeah. There wasn't much show of that back in the day.
Yeah, 17. No, that was unbelievable.
Mate,
yeah.
There's NRL Hall of Famers that haven't won premierships or experienced the success you did in your first 30-odd games. 2003, at what point in the year did you think we can do this? Was there a moment? Was there a game? Was there a training session where it all sort of got real and serious, if that makes sense?
Yeah, we just got a bit of momentum, I think. I think there was a trial. We had a trial. We actually finished 2002 pretty strong. I think we played our last game against Manly down at Brookie and they had to beat us to make the finals.
Yeah.
And we put 60 on them. I was thinking that there's signs of a good team here. Like we had these good young guys coming through. We had some good old heads and, we had some strike power, And then we played a trial, when 2003, we played a trial against the Warriors. Like a full-strength Warriors, and we spanked them. So I thought, yeah, we could go all right this year.
Wow.
But then we started a bit clunky. We nearly beat the Bronx at home. They beat us at home. And then we got spanked by Melbourne, and then we beat the Roosters down there. And that's when we sort of think, well, we can give this a good crack. We weren't talking premierships or anything like that. And I think after that, we went on like an eight-match winning streak. I think going into that's when we thought, well, we're a show here. We can beat every side of the comp. And we're winning games, we're winning well. And we didn't have any injuries, and the momentum just kept building and building, and we just there was confidence. There was good young kids that come through. We had some good veterans there.
Yep.
We had great halves. We had a bit of X factor. So, yeah, we started to believe after that eight in a row, I reckon.
It's amazing you mentioned confidence there a couple of times, and you can be as big and fit and strong and fast as you like. You can be as talented as you like. You can do all the right things, but that one element of confidence is the thing none of us can actually measure. There's no gauge telling us how confident we are. Confidence or no confidence is the difference between a win and a loss on so many occasions. It's if we knew where it came from and how to hold it, life would be so much easier.
Yeah, definitely. I think with that side, with those young guys, that come through, they were just brimming confidence. You know, they'd come from winning junior teams and were fearless. And I think,
were you one of them? Did you win all your junior stuff?
I was a bit older. So Lukey Lewis, that sort of crop, they were really good junior sides. Yeah, the junior sides I played in weren't great. But they had a good crop, yeah. So they come through. And I think that we sort of, us coming through, revitalised some of the old dogs in the team, and they fed off us and we fed off them, their experience. So it was a perfect mix. But like you said, it's just confidence is something that's just, I don't know, it's hard to find. Like, even when you're playing golf and stuff like that, it's the difference between, you know, making a putt any sport, that's trying to find that confidence and belief is what it's all about.
100%. What stands out from the grand final experience, mate? Anything in particular? I mean, it's 21 years ago. It's a long time.
Yeah.
But is there something you think about straight away?
Probably just that try, that last try that Rooney scored when I knew where we've got it, we're home here. I think the euphoria of that moment, that's hard to – it's hard to top, but the whole week was unbelievable. The place was buzzing out there. You know, we were loving every moment of it. There was no doubt, or I think it was all smiles on our faces. There was no tension. We always believed we could do it. I don't think a lot of people did. I think everyone thought the Roosters were going to blow us off the park, but. And I think they might have as well. You know, they come out, they're dead set. We were dead set, mate, about 10 metres in that first set. So I thought, this is what they're going to do. This is their plan. They're going to try and blast away early. And I think we slowly got on top, and you could just slowly see that they'll run out of answers. So it was...
That's what the Roosters had done for 3 years.
Yeah.
They bashed people for 15 minutes, then started playing footy.
Yeah. Well, they did that to us. The game, the second round of that year, they got us at home, and they obviously had a point to prove after we rolled them earlier on in the year. So we learned a bit from that game, actually.
Okay.
We knew what was coming, and I remember the forwards, we had a little chat and just said, look, we know what they're going to do. They're going to come out like lunatics. Mm. Let's just fight fire with fire, and we did. And we weren't intimidated. We weren't going to be bullied, so we just – we stuck it back at them, and they were a bit rattled, and I reckon a little bit of panic would have set in when they were down at halftime, and it was raining, and it was just it was a special night. So many fond memories, and it was definitely something I would have loved to have done again, maybe later on in the career, but I'll take the one. So it was awesome.
I've heard stories about Craig Gower's talk. I can't recall if it was either before the game or half time. I can't recall what was said, but I know it is a good yarn. Do you remember?
Half-time of the grand final.
Yeah.
Mate, my memory's shot, eh?
You and I both.
He would have been fired up. He would have just said, look, boys, we're right in this. Let's just go and get it. And, it would have been something along those lines, I reckon. But he didn't do many big speeches or anything, Gowie, but he normally just led by his actions. But when he did speak, he did listen.
You just mentioned the story about the forwards getting together and saying we're not going to be bullied. In 2024, there is so many statistics. There's so many different game plans and theories, and you run this shape and you run this line. I often think we complicate footy. If you run hard and you tackle hard, as it used to be, the game plan in the good old days, as I sit here sounding like a dinosaur, but if you run hard and tackle hard, you're probably going to win more games than you lose.
Yeah, 100%. You look at Penrith, like that Penrith team now, they're not overcomplicating the game. Like,
no.
I don't think Ivan's an overcoacher. He lets them play footy. They win games with their defence. Mm. They just keep turning up for each other. They're fit. That's not a complicated game plan. They just show up for each other. They're fit. They're big. They hit hard, and they do it for longer. They're willing to do it for longer than anyone else, and that's why they're so good.
Part of a rare club, mate, Australia before New South Wales. Now, to put this into context, correct me if I've screwed things up here, but you're working as a storeman in a factory until about June. You go full-time with the Panthers. You win a premiership, get selected to go on a kangaroo tour. That's in the space of just 4 months. That is having a rocket taped between your ass cheeks and just flying in life. What a 4 months.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Yeah, so I went from playing a park footy grand final to playing an NRL grand final in the space of 2 years. So it was a meteoric rise. But I actually remember the start of that, 2003, me and my best mate organised to go on a trip to Europe at the end of the year.
Stop.
So we're going to do a Katiki tour after the grand final, not thinking we were going to make the grand final or anything like that. Someone would have told me you were going to go on a kangaroo tour, I would have laughed at him.
The best footy and life talk there is. I hope you enjoyed this edition of the Legend Series. The Rugby League Superpod comes out later in the week and the Dream Team Series on a weekend. 4 podcasts every week in season on the only podcast that talks with the game's biggest names, not about them. Now, isn't it about time you left that 5-star rating and review? Make sure you come back soon, legends.